here on The Weekly. I hope you have enjoyed the show and
Loud Noise is a comedy show here on 2SER 107.3. And it's about to start. But before we begin, we have been told by basically everybody that we have to warn you about our language and themes because it might be offensive to some listeners. So, if that's you, well, sorry.
Sup fam, this is Loud Noise coming at you live this sexy Sunday evening right here on 2SER 107.3. I'm Will, and in case you haven't heard, we're the only show in Sydney, and yes, this includes you, Mark Latham, that doesn't have a bleeding heart for left-wing liberals or pander to the bloody noisy alt-right bullshit brigade. So check your virtue signalling at the door. Spare yourself from any agenda-driven nonsense and just enjoy the next half hour of random noise. Yes, unfortunately, it's just me here manning the fort at Loud Noise this week, but let's be honest, that's all you really need. Hannah's prepared something for you from the ABC kitchen, while I decided to sing you a song and probably pull something else out of thin air or maybe my ass to keep your lols going on the fly. On a side note, though, totally gutted here at the show about Chris Cornell this week. Had the chance actually to watch him a few years ago live, and I'm telling you right now, the only way that you could have, like, you know, goosebumps come easier would literally be jacking off a flock of geese. So stay tuned till the end. We've got his best performance, or in his best performance in my eyes, wrapped up in a nice little bow for y'all. But if you're trigger averse, if you're just, you know, a social justice or alt-right masochist, we got you, fam, and we got each other. But before we kick it off, though, make sure you get on over to 2SER.com/loud-noise. Brand new website, so you can whine and moan and gripe and groan there, or you can hit us up at Loud Noise Show on Twitter. Alternatively, if you're more, you know, seriously inclined, you can check out our fancy stuff at thecentre.com.au, and that's a centre with an ER and not an RE, so deal with it. But now to kick things off, we're going to switch on over live to the Loud Noise news team for the fake news. Popular social media app Instagram has been ranked the worst social network for young people's mental health this week. According to the Royal Society for Public Health, the app is too image-focused and leads to feelings of inadequacy and anxiety. Or in other words, ugly people getting sad. Firebrand US Senator John McCain has lashed out at Turkey and said that he would throw the Turkish ambassador out over the violence in Washington, D.C. earlier this week. McCain is vehemently opposed to violence, except, of course, when he approves it, like, you know, the wholesale slaughter of millions of Vietnamese in the Vietnam War or airstrikes on Syria that kill civilians. But it's three literal strikes and you're out at his house. The case has been dropped by Sweden against another maverick WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange, who will no longer be prosecuted for the alleged rape of a woman in Sweden. Assange is, however, still wanted on another alleged rape in the United States of the political career of Hillary Clinton. Authorities in Bangladesh have arrested 27 men on charges that they suspect they might be gay. Police in the impoverished nation said they came to their conclusions after all 27 turned down the opportunity to marry their sisters. The president of Venezuela, Victor Maduro, has called his political comrades in his tumultuous country the new Jews, as he states they're being persecuted both at home and abroad by people dissatisfied with his leadership. Left-wing groups have hailed the move, despite Maduro overseeing a crisis not unlike one which was engineered by another up-and-coming socialist back in Germany in the 1930s. And finally, the head of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, has said this week that no noble end is able to justify destroying human embryos, even in cases of scientific discovery. When asked if his real concern over terminating pregnancy would be the effect on the sex lives of his clergy constituents, the Pope replied, "There's a predator preacher to church." And that's all the news I could be fucked writing this week for the Loud Noise Newsroom. I'm William. Have a great rest of show. Stay frosty, Sydney.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18, and you can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. City Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
Greetings, people from the future. You are listening to Loud Noise on 2SER 107.3.
Sup, fam, we are back. Now, even though I don't have my trusty sidekick here to argue things with me, there's been a lot of things that have happened this week that are absolutely ridiculous, and most of them have centered around like a crowd favorite at this show, Donald Trump. Now, I don't know how much of the news you've been watching. You've probably been watching, you know, knowing this audience, a lot of left-wing kind of stuff, but Trump is being lambasted by the media over his, you know, behavior with Russian diplomats in the Oval Office, apparently leaking state secrets. Now, I don't know how this all got spun, but you've got to understand this is something, and I'm not trying to be an apologist for Trump. Quite frankly, he has behaved throughout his first, you know, couple of months or 5 months in the role really, really ridiculously. Like, there are a lot of things that he could have pushed through that he hasn't. A lot of things he could have done that I'm going to touch on later that he hasn't done, hasn't been able to achieve because he doesn't know how to transition from being a candidate as then into being, you know, this being what the office represents rather than being what he wants to represent. But anyway, this whole media, you know, attack on the way in which that he's interacting with other diplomatic leaders is absolutely ludicrous. You've got to understand that this is what happens. This is what people talk about, whether you're talking to someone, you know, through a non-official channel, whether you're talking to someone at the barbershop, you engage in conversations. Whether or not that then becomes part of the public spectre is a completely different set of circumstances. And it's just indicative of the manner in which that people within the construct, people within the political, you know, sphere, whether they're, you know, Trump supporters or not Trump supporters, don't understand how there's a difference between politicking and actually, you know, running a country and getting things done. That it's not necessary to try and like score points. But aside from all that, it is the way it is. Trump's in a lot of shit. Let's put that very bluntly. He's in a lot of shit right now with the whole, you know, getting rid of Comey. Whether or not actually getting rid of Comey was, you know, some kind of mastermind move, because then it highlights the way in which Democrats, who are no better than Trump, who are no better than Republicans, who are no better than anyone, quite frankly, are very hypocritical, because a couple of months ago they're yelling and screaming to fire Comey, yet now it's all of a sudden, oh no, Comey has to stay. But anyway, besides all that, now, the reason why I'm even mentioning all of this, because it's the same reason why usually I haven't done any, you know, we haven't covered anything on Trump recently, is because the way in which the Australian media covers not just Trump, that's a separate little thing, ABC, Trump's America, well done, but the way in which Trump is then used to, you know, explain away everything else. Now, I work in the media. I cover, you know, things ranging from, oh, I was at Fashion Week all week. I cover finance. I cover economics. I cover politics. Everything for a very, very, very large media organization. Now, in my covering of finance, and yes, I've got like, you know, commerce qualifications and all that kind of thing. The fact that every single media outlet pushes this, you know, false narrative that Trump is to blame for Australian financial action is absolutely fucking ludicrous. And not only that, not only is blaming Trump for the financial markets stupid, but at the same time, the way in which they try and frame this whole narrative about Trump connected to financial markets is also very damaging. Now, I'll explain. So, right now, the Dow Jones this week has dropped a lot of points, but people say, oh, because Trump's going to get impeached. But see, that's fallacy, because the whole point of the rise that the Dow Jones has been experiencing in NASDAQ for, you know, the past 4 months is building in the money and the profits that these businesses were intending on making because of the company tax cuts that they thought were going to get through. It's not indicative of anything else other than that. So if you've got a situation where the market's going up because it's preloading is a good word to say, the value that's going to be then, that's going to then result once the company tax cuts went through. And now those tax cuts are generally gone because it's going to have a lot of a struggle to get through any kind of legislation on this matter. Then losing 300 points in a day is investors then taking out their money, trying to cut their risk in terms of that one specific provision. And yet when you look at AAP, you look at, you know, everyone that just jumps on board AAP, you look at these finance writers that should know better, that do know better, that then say, oh, it's because of Trump getting impeached, it's because of all his scandals. It's not. It flat out is not the case. No company tax cuts means these companies on the share market are then worth less when you're talking about their share price, because it's predictive of, you know, their value, their worth. It is the most ludicrous situation. And what people don't understand is the more that they push these political, you know, narratives that make absolutely no fucking sense, only to get headlines, only to get people actually clicking on finance news that are normally, you know, finance averse. What that does is it has a trickle-down effect. So if you, you know, attack the confidence of a financial market because you want to, like, write an article about Trump so that people actually look at your article rather than ignoring it because, you know, you're going to blame the 2% losses that, you know, the banks had on Thursday or Wednesday, I think it was, on Trump, rather than actually blaming it on the bank levy that's, you know, additional governmental regulation that's being imposed on the banks, and trying to then shape that and ignore the fact that the Australian banking system is heavily isolated. It's, you know, primarily invested in by our superannuation funds anyway, which is what keeps it strong during the, say, the GFC, for example, not for, you know, their brilliant leadership. It's the money, our money, that's being used to prop up these banks. But besides from all that, to try and blame the American markets on what's happening in Australia when it is the banking levy, it's government regulation, it's the way in which they're getting involved in this stoush with the government that doesn't look good for investors, doesn't look good for, I'll rephrase investors into speculators, then that's why the market behaved like it did this week. It has absolutely nothing to do with Trump. Nothing. Commodities, maybe even. Because you've got, you know, the price of iron ore is, it's sort of stabilizing, but it isn't. Dalian Futures, it's been like up and down, but it's shot down like at least nearly a third in the past couple of months. You got the prices of copper, all these things that Australia exports, all these things that these industries, these, you know, top, you could say the S&P 200 in Australia, the ASX 200, but really we're talking about like the ASX 50, the top 50 indices. Those companies are all mining companies, big telcos like Telstra, your banks who are the top four and who are market capped beyond belief in that market. They're going to get affected by the things that affect them in our country. It has nothing to do with Trump. And yet all these people want to, you know, write Trump on their stories to get people to click at them. And it is absolutely fucking ludicrous. Totally, complete and utter bullshit. And it just demonstrates that either one, they know nothing about finance, or two, when this is the most insidious and worst part of it, that they do know about finance, and yet they're still pushing this false narrative because their editors are either telling them to, or because they feel like, you know, they want someone to look at their writing, not because it's accurate, not because it's good, but because Donald Trump's name's in it. It's absolutely pathetic. And that's my rant that I just pulled out of my ass for you. And I hope anyone listening that does like finance appreciates exactly where I'm coming from and knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you know finance, if you're a commerce student at UTS, if you're doing business at UTS, UNSW, UCID, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about and the absolute and utter idiocy of the way in which it's getting reported in Australia. But anyway, right now we're going to go straight to Hannah, who's prepared a tasty and awesome package for you. Hit it.
With the first medical marijuana trials set to begin in hospitals across New South Wales and Australia, the drug, which is affectionately referred to as Mary Jane by recreational users, is finally beginning its slow sachet out of the shadows. For decades, the debate has raged about the harms and benefits of this small and unremarkable-looking plant. Studies have conclusively shown a range of different effects, both good and bad. Dr. Alex Waddock, the director of the Drug and Alcohol Service at St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney, says the positive effects have been proven.
Well, it reduces and sometimes stops the severe nausea and vomiting that can develop after cancer chemotherapy. It reduces chronic severe pain, particularly if that's due to nerve damage rather than tissue damage. Improves appetite in people who've lost a hell of a lot of weight due to advanced cancer and AIDS, and reduces muscle stiffness in multiple sclerosis. These are all very distressing symptoms.
But Dr. Waddock does acknowledge that there is always the risk of side effects when taking a drug.
Really, the concerns about recreational cannabis, which I think are willfully exaggerated, they really apply to a black market drug. And when a drug is used medicinally, where the drug is regulated and is the dose and the time period is all controlled by the doctor and the whole system, it's a different kettle of fish. And studies of medicinal cannabis show that the side effects are insignificant.
Currently, Australians with illnesses that cause them huge amounts of pain have to seek cannabis products on the black market, and they risk prosecution for doing so. But they're also at risk of consuming an inferior product which hasn't been regulated and held to a minimum standard. Dr. Waddock explains.
We have a drug which would be produced under controlled conditions where the drug that's used in 2014 would be the same drug that would be produced in 2024, and where the doctor would prescribe it from August the 1st till August the 31st for a finite period. In the black market, you don't know what's happening on. It's like the difference between regulated alcohol and Al Capone's alcohol. Mm. That's the difference.
In Australia, marijuana is on the cusp of being accepted, with millions of dollars being poured into trials focusing on infant epilepsy, palliative care, and chemo-induced nausea, the first step to allowing the use of this plant in medicine. But it's been a very long process, and pro-marijuana groups have spent years campaigning to even get these trials to occur.
We want to see a product that is available, that is safe, that is made well, that has the right strains that we all need for the different ailments that we have. And we want to see that in Victoria. It's possible. We grow poppies here now. We can safely grow medicinal cannabis to answer the needs of all of you here and for the many other people who are suffering who can't make it today.
One long-time supporter of medicinal cannabis is Fiona Patten, the leader of the Australian Sex Party and a Victorian Member of Parliament. She's also a recreational user, something that is seldom admitted by a public figure, particularly a political one.
My colleagues might have six beers after work, I might have a joint after work, and I see nothing wrong with that, and I think that I should have every right to do that, and as an adult I can make those decisions.
It's a bold move from Patten, who also supports the legislation of adult recreational use of the drug. She believes that regulating and taxing marijuana would make it safer to consume, but also free up the judiciary system to deal with more serious crimes than growing or smoking cannabis.
In some ways, it's treating marijuana like alcohol. And we've seen this start to happen in a number of states in the United States where they can regulate where it's sold, they can regulate who sells it, who it's sold to, how it's harvested, how it's grown, and they can put a tax on it. So we need to recognise, in Australia, the cannabis industry is worth $6 billion. That's a lot of money. And that isn't going to Treasury at the moment. That's going into the hands of criminals and it's going into the hands of the black market. So let's recognise that a large proportion of Australians are taking this drug and regulate it so we can tax it, we can keep risk harm at a minimum, and we can educate people about it.
But even as trials begin across the country and the laws on marijuana are slightly relaxed for medicinal use, legalising non-medicinal marijuana is a long way off. It's a different story in America, though, where the marijuana industry has exploded.
travel to states where it's legal, like Colorado, and you can buy everything from the dried leaves to cannabis-infused chocolate and candy. Even actress Whoopi Goldberg has jumped on the bandwagon with her own range of cannabis oil, targeted at women with period pain. She explained her product to Stephen Colbert last year.
It's all about the menstrual cycle. It has, you can't smoke it, it's not smokable, if you rub it. So we're not here to get you high. We don't want to get you high because all you need is a weed mat for that.
All right.
What we're trying to do is get you doing something that is better for you than taking maybe some of the pills that are around for women who have strong menstrual cycles. And this is how I got into it, because I said, you know, a friend of mine said to me, hey, you know, Snoop Dogg's doing this and Willie's doing this. I said, is anybody doing anything for menstrual cramps? And he started laughing. He said, no, it's a niche market. And I said, that's a niche market that's half the population on the earth.
Marijuana is now a $1 billion business in America, and patients all over the country are benefiting from having access to the drug. But so is the government from the huge tax revenue being brought in. The state of Colorado alone brought in $200 million last year. The industry has created thousands of jobs in an era when people are being replaced by machines. In some states, there's even been a drop in crime, although it's too soon to tell if it's all thanks to the legislation of cannabis. And the judicial system, which was previously dealing with hundreds of thousands of marijuana-related charges each year, has been freed up to deal with more serious crimes. But even with promising evidence from the United States, progress in Australia is slow. For the parents of children suffering from cancer or seizures, it's just not acceptable. One such mother, Rhonda Miles, says the legislation of medicinal marijuana can't come a day too soon for her son Lachlan, who suffers from regular seizures. He's already tried over 12 different legal seizure medications, but none of them have worked. Now his mother is campaigning for a medical marijuana clinic in their hometown of Toowoomba.
The last thing people expected me to suddenly transform into was a medical cannabis advocate. It just wasn't kind of like on the radar screen. But, you know, life throws you curveballs, and you just got to basically, you know, I don't like injustice, and I just saw this as a big issue of injustice. You know, people talk about, you know, the rights of the elderly, the rights of the children, etc., etc. Well, what about the right of a child who's been on life support 7 times to have options? You know, why are we criminalising people? You know, all these questions sort of came through my mind, and I couldn't sit back and do nothing.
While the trials are underway, uncertainty continues for the parents of sick children who have to watch them suffer every day. And for growers who want to start cultivating the plant and open up the potential $1 billion industry, legislation is slow. The laws in each state vary, and politicians aren't prioritising the legislation to put the cannabis industry on a clear path. While it's now technically legal to grow cannabis in Australia, with a license and with strict restrictions in place, the lack of a market makes it difficult for growers to know just how much to plant. And the law remains just as murky for people who wish to process the products. Doctors across the country are often left frustrated by the barriers in the way to patients being allowed access to medical marijuana. In New South Wales, 40 children who suffer from the seizures will take part in a $3.5 million statewide trial of the drug. But former Premier Mike Baird stressed that this was an amnesty deal. It's a dark road ahead for chemo patients and kids with epilepsy who aren't on a list to trial the drug. Their only short-term solution to seek products on the black market.
You're listening to Loud Noise, the show that rules with an iron fist and a copper foot and a titanium crotch.
Right wingers tell you clearly,
truths you'll believe that'll make you stressed. But when you get too real, try a little trigger fast. Yeah. Twitter way down, finger just anticipating mean tweets that you can share and echo left. Yeah, wow, you're complaining. Don't forget now to have your little trigger fest. Yeah. Oh, it's not just fundamental. Oh, no, it's not. Your politics, no one cares. Yeah. And all those mean words, they make you temperamental, yeah. You start arguing, but no one's there. So don't forget it while you're scrolling through your Reddit. Gotta do is try a little trick of fails. Yeah, you gotta complain and cry, whine them, block them, ban them, blame the man, and you gotta try a little trick of fails. Yeah, it's all you got.
You're listening to Loud Noise, the show that's served with a side of pulled pork, smashed avocados, slapped potatoes, and sexually harassed toast.
Alright fam, that's it. We're done. We know you want more, but you don't always get what you want unless you slide on over to www.2ser.com/loud-noise. You can gag and beg for it at Loud Noise Show on Twitter, or let your fingers do the stalking at thecenter.com.au, and that's center with an E-R and not an R-E, because we're Aussie, yo. All right, guys, lock your doors, close your blinds, find the best corner you can to hide in the fetal position, because Jailbreak is up next, and they're getting set to break in and enter your hearts. For the Loud Noise crew, I'm William, and normally, this is when I tell you that the left is never right, and the right is batshit crazy. But tonight we have a tribute to one of the best rock voices the world has ever seen. To be honest, I'd give a left or a right nut to belt like the dude, so pour out some of that 4X you're drinking ironically out of poverty and give it up like many groupies have before for the man, Chris Cornell.
Until the light blurs my vision, I have nowhere to roam, I only love.